The bullet train had been shooting through the vacuum of the transatlantic tunnel for almost 2 hours now. They would arrive at Port Authority Koch soon. Customs had already been fixed, according to the Marechal. All Rat had to do was get back to his nest, lock the smart door behind him, and put the word out on his protected nets. He had enough Algerian yellow to dust at least half the cerebrums on the east side. If he could turn this deal, he would be rich enough to bathe in Dom Perignon and dry himself with Gromaire tapestries. Another pang shot down his left flank. Instinctively, his hind leg came off the seat and scratched at air. There was only one problem. Rat had decided to cut the Marechal out. That meant he had to lose the old man's spook before he got home. The spook had attached herself to him at Marseille. She braided her blonde hair in pigtails. She had freckles, wore braces on her teeth. Tiny breasts nudged against a modest silk turtleneck. She looked to be between 12 and 14. Cute. She had probably looked that way for 20 years, would stay the same for another 20, if she did not stop a slug first or get cut in half by some automated security laser that tracked only heat and could not read or be troubled by cuteness. Their passport said they were Mr. Sterling Janes and daughter Jessa Lynn of Forest Hills, New York. She was typing in her notebook, chubby fingers curled over the keys. Homework? A letter to a boyfriend? More likely, she was operating on some corporate database with scalpel code of her own devising. Ne fais pas semblant d'étudier, ma petite, Rat said. Que fais-tu? Oh, Daddy, she said, pouting. Can't we go back to plain old English? After all, we're almost home. She tilted her notebook so that he could see the display. It read, 2 rows back, 2nd seat from aisle, bed. If he knew you were carrying, he'd cut the dust out of you and wipe his ass with your pelt. She tapped the return key, and the message disappeared. All right, dear. He arched his back, fighting a surge of adrenaline that made his incisors click. You know, all of a sudden, I feel hungry. Should we do something here on the train, or wait until we get to New York? Only the spook saw him gesture back toward the Fed. Why don't we wait for the station? More choice there.
As you wish, dear.
He wanted her to take the Fed out now, but there was nothing more he dared say. He licked his hands nervously and groomed the fur behind his short, thick ears to pass the time. The International Arrivals Hall at Koch Terminal was unusually quiet for a Thursday night. It smelled to Rat like a setup. The passengers from the bullet shuffled through the echoing marble vastness toward the row of customs stations. Rat was unarmed. If they were going to put up a fight, the spook would have to provide the firepower. But Rat was not a fighter. He was a runner. Their instructions were to pass through station number 4. As they waited in line, Rat spotted the federally appointed vigilante behind them. The classic invisible man, neither handsome nor ugly, 5'10", about 170, brown hair, dark suit, white shirt. He looked bored. "You have anything to declare?" The customs agent looked bored, too. Everybody looked bored except Rat, who had $2 million worth of illegal drugs in his gut and a Fed ready to carve them out of him. "We hold these truths to be self-evident," said Rat, "that all men are created equal." He managed a feeble grin, as if this were a witticism and not the password. "Daddy, please." The spook feigned embarrassment. "I'm sorry, ma'am. It's his idea of a joke. It's the Declaration of Independence, you know." The customs agent smiled as she tousled the spook's hair. "I know that, dear. Please put your luggage on the conveyor." She gave a perfunctory glance at her monitor as their suitcases passed through the scanner and then nodded at Rat. "Thank you, sir, and have a pleasant..." The insincere thought died on